Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I am your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher. I'm a current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so on this podcast, we talk about how to make that happen. We talk about things like design thinking and project-based learning and anything else that will allow us to empower our students with voice and choice. Today, I want to talk about something I think a little more personal, and it's because we are experiencing a lot of stress and a lot of chaos and a lot of anxiety collectively, and I want to address that right now in this podcast. So we're not going to talk about design thinking. We're not going to talk about PBL. We're not going to talk about practical strategies. We're going to talk about something that is, again, a little bit different. So I spent hours on Saturday putting together a 3,500 word blog post, an ebook, and a toolkit. And I'll be, you know, sharing that out as well. You can, if you go to spencerauthor.com, you can find the toolkit, you can find the ebook, you can download all of those. And given the stress of the previous days, I knew that sitting down for 6 hours and doing creative work would allow me to do something I loved, while also potentially helping others. I had gotten a lot of emails from friends who I used to work with back in Phoenix when I taught middle school, who said, "Hey, can you help me figure out how to get my class online? I'm stressed about this." Or there's a lot of professors who teach in-person classes who are contacting me and saying, "Hey, I know you presented before at the university about UX design. Could you help me kind of do an audit of my own course?" And so I wanted to create something that would be helpful. I've been teaching online for a long time, I'd say 6 or 7 years. I've been teaching hybrid even longer. I've been using tech for a long time. So I'm really comfortable in this space, but I also know not everybody is. And so that's what I did. Now then I want you to fast forward a couple of days, and now it's, you know, Tuesday. And I was in a mental fog. I completed half of my to-do list. I was sluggish. I barely completed a PowerPoint for a virtual class that I was going to teach at 1 o'clock, and I barely got it done at like 12:57. Although I was able to go out and run and lift weights and hang out with my kids and take our puppy on a walk, I simply couldn't get into the creative rhythm. Any creative work I did just didn't work. It's not that I was in a creative block necessarily. I had ideas. I knew what to do. I just was working slow. And that's okay. The reality is this. I am stressed and I am anxious. I had worked hard over the last 2 days, but then on Tuesday, I just decided to give myself the permission to do less. I essentially finished working at 2:45, maybe 3 o'clock, instead of finishing at 5. I'm also giving myself the permission to work on a new passion project. I don't know what it's going to be. I'm either going to write a novel, or I had started this dog comic strip a few months ago, and I might pick that back up and do that. I might work on a project with my own kids at home. And I mention all of this because I saw this heavily circulated tweet by an author stating why we shouldn't work in our sweatpants when we work from home. We should dress up for work as if we're going into the office. Now, this author is John Acuff, who I love his work. But this is what he wrote. "I've worked from home for 7 years. Here's some free advice if you never have. Start the day with a shower and then dress like you normally would for work. I love pajama pants, but there's a breeding ground for depression. Flannel feels like failure by day 3. Now, I happen to love John Acuff's work. I love the blend of humor, the research, the practical advice, and the book Finish. It's one of my favorite books on productivity. And I get where he's coming from. I know he's providing something of value for people who need tangible cues to make working from home similar to working from an office. But here's the thing. In my experience, sweatpants are a perk of working from home. I've been working from home for a long time. I basically never go into the office. I go into the university to teach, and I go into schools when I observe, but I work from home in this really cool office that I have, and I love it. Some of us thrive when working in comfy clothes. When I am comfortable, I feel more at ease, and I actually take more creative risks. I'm not distracted by the constriction of a collar and, you know, pants that have to have a belt. I mean, I don't have to worry about that. I know this is odd, but that's me. I am incredibly productive when I'm comfortable, which is why like 90% of my wardrobe involves sweatpants and sweatshirts. And I wonder what it would have looked like if Acuff had modified his tweet just ever so slightly to say this: I've worked from home for 7 years. Here's some free advice that worked for me. Hope it's helpful to someone. Start the day off with a shower and then dress like you normally would for work. I love pajama pants too, but in my experience, they're a breeding ground for depression. Flannel feels like failure by day 3. Again, just reframing it to say, this is what worked for me versus this is what you should do. It's a subtle difference, but I think it's significant. Because for me, flannel feels like comfort. Flannel feels like introverted work clothes. Flannel feels like you're getting stuff done. Flannel feels like kicking butt and taking names, but not actually taking names because you're an introvert, so it's really just kicking butt and leaving the name-taking to someone more social. But that's just me. I love flannel. I call it freedom fabric, and I wear it proudly as I read and write and plan and grade and create. It's my comfort clothes. It's my creative work clothes, and I embrace it. Now, Acuff's tweet is a reminder to me that we all need the permission to process and adapt in our own unique ways. Some folks thrive when working at a messy desk. I just can't. I need minimalism. I have 3 items on my desk: a phone charger, a candle, and a pencil sharpener. Now, I might at some point take the pencil sharpener away, put it in the cabinet, and replace it with a red stapler, just like Office Space, but that'll be it. The point is, I don't think you need to go Marie Kondo to be productive and happy. For some folks, that's absolutely what they need, myself included. But for other people, a messy space is where they thrive. It's part of their creative process. They need physical space to be tangible and to move things around and to have sticky notes all over the place. And that works for them. They love having tons of visual cues that remind them of what they're doing. For me, I need a clean slate. It has me thinking about the way we are all responding right now to this global pandemic. To my core, I believe that we need to show one another grace and create spaces of permission for each other. Now I'm going to share another story. A few days ago, someone sent me a Facebook message about the inappropriateness of sharing random memes in the midst of a pandemic. After all, people are dying, this person pointed out. Note that none of the memes that I have shared are about COVID-19. But I love to be goofy. It's who I am. And more importantly, as someone with mild anxiety, humor is what prevents me from letting that anxiety skyrocket. It's what keeps me from spiraling. Now, I have lost nearly every keynote and workshop that I had planned for March and April, and I'm still on the hook for travel. So it kind of sucks. I'm going to owe about $2,000 to $3,000 that I'll never get back. I'm going to try to work with the airlines, but I'm doubtful. You can only get so far when you book basic economy, right? And you don't have travel insurance. It's my own fault. I likely won't have a graduation, and I'm kind of sad about that. I wanted my kids and my parents to see me walk down the stage when I got my doctorate. I'm frantically retooling an action research course, given the fact that most of my students are not going to be teaching. Actually, none of my students are going to be teaching in person, and it's questionable if we'll even have school as a state here in Oregon. As a dad, I'm helping my kids process social distancing and the loneliness that they experience. We're creating some humor again. My sons have decided that 9:20, for example, is when we are having fitness class, and he's calling it the fitness center, which is just the garage with a weight bench. But they're bummed. They're not going to get to do sports. My daughter doesn't get to do ballet. She has been practicing like crazy for her recital. She won't get to do it. My son, it's the first time he's done a high school sport, doesn't get to do freshman baseball. My other son can't do Little League, right? They're bummed about this. And there are so many ways to cope with this stress, so many really, really bad ways. But humor is one of my healthiest options available. And I'm going to pursue it and use it and enjoy it. So how about we give each other the permission to be and to process and to escape even as we see fit? How about we allow each other the permission to binge watch Netflix if we prefer, instead of telling people that, you know, Isaac Newton discovered something really important while he was, you know, quarantined? Nah, just let people be. Some folks need to share memes and laugh and goof off. Other people need to share informational articles and become more informed. Some people need to share their fears publicly, coming from a place of vulnerability, and they are scared and they want to talk about that. And still others just need a break from online interactions altogether. And you know what? All of these options are viable and valid. Some folks are meeting up virtually to share a pint, and they're hanging out on Google Hangout, and they're talking about their favorite beer, and they're mixing drinks together, but I'm going dry this month. I'm not going to have any alcohol for at least a month. Knowing my family's background with alcoholism, I'm not mixing alcohol with anxiety, but it's deeply personal for me, and I'm not going to judge anybody for having a drink. I have no problem with folks continuing to drink in a way that is healthy and responsible. Again, the key thing being healthy and responsible. Some people are creating structured schedules for their kids, and their kids need that. I believe structure is vital for creativity. I've talked about it before on this podcast, but other kids are letting their kids get bored and play, and that's totally fine too. Boredom is often what inspires creative work, and some of us, like me right now, I'm doing a hybrid. My kids get up in the morning around 7, and from 7 until 12, they have a genius hour where they pursue some kind of thing that they're curious about. They have designated reading time where they read. They have fitness time, obviously, and that they've scheduled that themselves. And then they have, creative time. So they have creative time, genius hour, reading time, fitness time, and then there's some kind of thing that they do that's helping other people out. They can write letters to some of the more elderly people in our family. They can do chores around the house, which they're going to have to do anyway. But they have to do something where they're helping out others. And then from 12 until 5 or 6, they do whatever they want. And they might continue to read. They might continue to do their maker projects. They might continue to do that. But they also might hop onto Minecraft and hang out online. And that's totally fine too. The point is, every kid is different and every parent is different. And some parents are working from home, and some parents work from home at a kitchen table, and other people are lucky like me and have an office. We're all in a different place. I have a friend who is an exercise nut, but he's taking this week off of running, and that is something he doesn't do. And he was telling me that he's sleeping in and he's giving himself the permission to take a midday nap when he would normally take a lunch. And here's the thing, that is exactly what he needs. He needs to rest. He's in great shape. He eats well and he'll get back into exercising. I know this is who he is, but this week he needs to rest. Meanwhile, I need to stick to my typical schedule. I'm still getting up at 5:30 to 5:45. I'm also choosing to run and to weight train even more, not less, because I found those strategies really help me when I feel anxious. Now, there's a small caveat here. There's a time and a place for things like social pressure. For example, it's okay to implore folks to stay inside and use social distancing. Please do that. I also think it's okay to talk to trusted friends if you are worried about their coping strategies that might seem unhealthy. But the bottom line is this. There are some very bad destructive options in the midst of a crisis, but there's so many healthy ways to cope. And simplistic prescriptive answers won't work for all people. What we need to do is give each other and ourselves the permission to be and to explore and to experience in a way that we see fit. Thank you so much for listening. Would you do me a favor? If you enjoy this podcast, would you leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcast? Again, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for stepping in and being a rock and a refuge for so many students. I know many of you are taking big creative risks. Many of you are teaching online for the first time. Many of you are scared yourselves, and you have been solid for kids. And I just want to say thank you for that. So again, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.